Georgia on Market Street. This is FieldPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the main branch of San Francisco's excellent public library. Today is Thursday, the 11th of February, 2016. On this date, in 660 BC, Japan was founded by Emperor Jimmu. 1790, the Quakers petitioned the U.S. Congress for the abolition of slavery. 1805, Sacagawea gives birth to her son, Pompey. 1808, Jesse Fell burns anthracite coal on an open grate in Pennsylvania as an experiment in heating homes with coal. 1858, a French girl claims to have seen a vision of the Virgin Mary near Lourdes. 1918, Russia's General Kaladin commits suicide. 1937, General Motors signs its first deal with auto workers contract after a sit-down strike. 1945, the Yalta Conference ends. FDR and his daughter Anna begin their journey home. 1953, the Soviet Union breaks off diplomatic relations with Israel. 1963, Sylvia Plath commits suicide at age 30 in London. 1979, supporters of Ayatollah Khomeini take state power in Iran. 1990, Nelson Mandela is released from prison. 10 years ago today, 2006, Dick Cheney accidentally shoots a friend in the face with a shotgun in Texas on a hunting trip. 2011, Hosni Mubarak resigns and transfers power to the Supreme Military Council after 18 days of protests on Tahrir Square. 5 years ago today. Birthdays are Leslie Nielsen, Burt Reynolds, Thomas Edison, Jeb Bush, Sheryl Crow, and Sarah Palin. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. As ever, this podcast is written by Ari Swiecka. Thank you again. For those posting on the forum, you want to comment, ask a question, go to tfieldpod.com or send an email to tfieldpod@gmail.com. So, here's the Maestro TV recap. Last week, singer Utsunobi, or Gheorghe Gachachiladze, as everybody knows him, became a majority shareholder of Maestro TV, even though the company is bankrupt, and then sacked the director of the channel by Garabadze, who has the backing of some minority shareholders and has disputed the decision. Garabadze was replaced by Utsunobi's brother, Levan Gachachiladze. Garabadze is saying that this was politically motivated because a business person shouldn't be interested in buying a bankrupt company. Maestro is the third TV station in Georgia after the more watched Rustavi Ori and Imedi TV. It only reported 3.5 million lari in ad revenues in 2015. As mentioned, in the fall of 2015, Maestro TV launched bankruptcy proceedings in court. It's rumored they have over 50 million lari in debt. The largest creditor is Bombshell Maka Asatiani, one of the co-founders. In late 2016, Utsunobi agreed with two co-owners to buy their shares, 15%, for an undisclosed sum. He became a majority shareholder. Gachachiladze says that the money to buy their shares came as a loan from Irakli Ruhadze, who is the manager of late tycoon Badri Patrikatsvili's assets and remains affiliated with the Patrikatsvili family. Imedi television station is owned by the Patrikatsvili family. On the 2nd of February, Gheorghe Gachachiladze met with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili in the government. Met with Prime Minister Kvitikashvili in the government office, and this further fueled allegations of possible political meddling. Both Gachachiladze and Prime Minister Kvitikashvili tried to downplay it as a meeting between old friends. Technically, the sacked director, Baya Garabadze, remains in control of the TV channel's management since the registration of her dismissal has not been finalized by the public registry. It will be registered on Monday, the 15th of February. Garabadze said that when the public registry does finalize the registration of her dismissal, she plans to make public certain documents that will provide answers over many issues. Maestro TV's newsroom journalist released a statement saying that what is important for them is maintaining editorial independence in all this. However, a group of Maestro staff broke off to form their own TV station, Maestro 24. It's being led by Bacho Kikabidze, former director of Maestro TV. Maestro 24 channel is already on the airwaves, but is only a Maestro-affiliated radio station for now and uses their logo. In the meantime, he's looking for funding to operate the channel. The Georgian National Communications Commission notified Kikabidze that they will need to provide them with all the relevant information about the TV channel, including programming schedules, so they're also preparing for that. In parallel, there's a separate dispute going on between Utsnobi and Maestro TV founder Mamuka Glonti, who holds 15% of the shares. Glonti argues that Gachachiladze broke a preliminary deal, and so he holds 25% of the shares illegally. There's a separate dispute regarding ownership rights over Maestro TV's logo. As you remember, the very government-friendly judge that was appointed to the Rustaviotti case was because that was a copyright and trademark expertise judge, which was the excuse to give him the Rustaviotti case. In other media changes, Eka Mishveladze, who is a TV host on Georgian public broadcaster Channel 1, says she was fired without explanation and she plans to sue. Her talk show Pirveli Studia was taken off the air a few months ago, but she had an open contract until now. And she's been trying to get her talk show back on, but without success. As we will remind you, her show was canceled soon after she got married to Alexei Petriashvili, the Secretary General of the Free Democrats. A bunch of other political talk shows were also canceled at that time. Georgia will reintroduce 45-day visa-free travel rules for Iranian citizens starting from the 15th of February. Deputy Foreign Minister David Jalaghania notified Iran's ambassador to Tbilisi about the decision at a meeting on the 8th of February. Earlier that day, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili spoke by phone with Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, told him that Tbilisi is considering reintroducing visa-free rules for Iranian citizens. According to the Prime Minister's office, the conversation was at Georgia's initiative in order to discuss the huge potential for bilateral trade and economic relations between Iran and Georgia and connecting with the Black Sea. In January 2011, Georgia introduced 45-day visa-free travel for Iranian citizens. The number of visitors from Iran to Georgia subsequently increased dramatically from about 20,000 in 2010 up to 60,000 in 2011, 90,000 in 2012. Then, as was much reported here on Tpilpod.com, Georgia stupidly and unilaterally violated the treaty agreement and suspended the visa-free rules with Iran in July 2013. The new government just panicked after a Wall Street Journal article about money laundering. And the number of visitors from Iran dropped with only about 25,000 in 2015. But a lot of countries are going to be dropping that because the sanctions are now over, and so it remains to be seen whether or not Iranians will show up. Let's hope so. Following up on what is happening in Abkhazia, new legislation will introduce new internal passports in March, or ID cards, according to Abkhazia's Deputy Prime Minister Shamil Adzinba. The authorities in Suchumi said that they are replacing the existing passports with new ones with higher levels of protection and to protect against identity theft. Adzinba said the documents they have are of very low quality, but in summer they've already printed the new documents, which were printed in Russia by the state insignia producing agency Guznak. The documents will be issued in 13 special creative service points. In Abkhazia, the plan reportedly also includes provision to issue residence permits for ethnic Georgians residing in Abkhazia's Gali district, which denies them the right to vote or own property if they don't have citizenship. As a reminder, Georgians in the Gali district had their Abkhazian citizenship canceled before Abkhazia's presidential election in August 2014 so that they could not vote. Echo Kavkazia reports that there were arguments in Abkhazia's parliament surrounding the upcoming local elections in Gali district and these documents. Abkhazia is supposed to have local elections in April. There was a proposal in parliament to postpone or not have the elections in Gali at all because there's a lack of regulation in issuing the residency permits. Some parliamentarians criticized the proposal and demanded a no-confidence vote for the prime minister. And more political news from Abkhazia. At the end of January, United Abkhazia elected veteran politician and Kremlin stooge Sergei Shamba as its chairman. He had been Abkhazia's foreign affairs minister for years, led his own party, then retired from politics, but then reemerged as one of the leaders of the, I say with air quotes, protests that forced President Ankhvab to resign in May 2014 in an effort widely believed to be led by the Kremlin because Ankhvab was too suspicious of Russian colonial ambitions. United Abkhazia was formerly a sister party of United Russia as well as Unity in South Ossetia. Analysts say that previously in parliament, Shamba has voiced support for concessions to Russia so his party could develop into becoming the most extremely pro-Russian party in Abkhazia. Social news from Abkhazia, a new healthcare law passed by parliament and approved by leader Raul Khajimba banning abortion in Abkhazia. It's a full ban on terminating a pregnancy from the moment of conception. The ban comes into effect immediately. The lawmaker who proposed the bill told media that one of the reasons for the ban was because abortion artificially reduces the size of the already small Abkhaz population. The bill was sponsored by the Abortion Doctors Association of Sochi. No, just kidding. Following up on previous month's stories on the Anaklia deep sea port, a joint venture between Georgian TBC Holding and U.S.-based Conti International called the Anaklia Development Consortium was awarded the contract to build and operate the deep sea port on the Black Sea. Ministry of Economy announced on the 8th of February. Contract is valued at $2.5 billion. ADC is owned in equal shares by TBC Holding, which is wholly owned by the chairman of TBC's bank supervisory board, Mamuka Khazaradze, and Conti Group, a New Jersey-based developer and builder of capital assets projects. According to ADC, the Georgian government is committed to invest $100 million to the project. The consortium is also expected to raise investment from international financial institutions and port operators within the next 6 months. According to the Economy Ministry, the port will be able to berth container ships with a capacity of 10,000 TEU, or 20-foot equivalent units. They plan to start construction in 2016 and have the port operational in 3 years after that. The contract is on a build, operate, and transfer basis. ADC will receive the right to use about 400 hectares of land where the port is planned for 49 years. It will also receive the right to develop a free industrial zone on about 600 hectares of land adjacent to the planned port. As a reminder, about a year and a half ago, the Georgian government called for expressions of interest for the project to select an investor on a build, operate, transfer basis. 7 bidders out of 12 were shortlisted in January 2015. 5 months later, the list was narrowed down to 2 consortia. One of them was ADC. The other was a consortium of Chinese state-owned Power China and Anaklia Industrial Eco Park and Port, a company founded by Georgian businessman Temuraz Karchava. Now that it's been selected, ADC said that the U.S.-based port design and planning company Moffitt and Nickel and Netherlands-based port transactions advisor Maritime and Transport Business Solutions are also partners in the project. Mamuka Khazaradze, the founder of TBC Holding, said that the company is in discussions to add other partners to the project, including from China. Currently, Georgia's ports in Poti and Batumi are capable of handling only feeder vessels carrying a maximum of 1,700 containers. Poti, south of Anaklia, handled 325,000 TEUs in 2015. Last year, the operators of Poti Port, APM Terminals, announced a large-scale port expansion plan in Poti involving building 2 new deep-water berths. The company is now waiting for permission to launch the construction from the Economy Ministry. According to the New World Threat Assessment reports of the U.S. intelligence community, they believe that Georgia might slow or suspend its efforts towards greater Euro-Atlantic integration because of effective Russian propaganda and increasing frustration among both Georgia's elites and the public with the slow pace of Western integration. The report was presented by Director of National Intelligence James Clapper to the U.S. Senate Armed Services Committee on the 9th of April. It says that Georgia will be volatile, especially with economic challenges making the government vulnerable to the run-up to the October elections. It continues that tensions with Russia will remain high, and we assess that Moscow will raise the pressure on Tbilisi to abandon closer EU and NATO ties. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili was on an official visit to Brussels on the 9th and 10th of February. He met with President of the European Council Donald Tusk, European Commissioner President Jean-Claude Juncker, the Commissioner for Neighborhood Policy, Johannes Hahn, the Commissioner for Migration, Home Affairs, and Citizenship, Commissioner for Climate Action and Energy, European Commission Vice President for Energy Union, which is important, and the EU Special Representative for the South Caucasus. He was accompanied by the Foreign Minister and State Minister for European and Euro-Atlantic Integration. After meeting with Kvyatkashvili, European Council President Donald Tusk said that Georgia and the EU are true partners and the cooperation will become even more comprehensive as the association agreement enters fully into force. Tusk even tweeted some of his support for Georgia. Then, later on the day, on the 9th of February, European Commissioner for Neighborhood Policy, Johannes Hahn, announced that the European Commission will put forward a legislative proposal on a visa waiver for Georgia in the coming weeks. After the formal proposal is made, it will then be up to EU member states and European Parliament to approve it in order to have short-term visa-free travel to the Schengen area for Georgian citizens who hold biometric passports. They said the Commission will act fast. The visa-free travel could happen around summer or maybe even earlier. When Kvyatkashvili returned to Tbilisi, he said that one of the main topics they discussed in Brussels was also the October 2016 elections and that these elections should be held to the highest standard. Tbilisi International Airport will be partially closed during most of the day, starting from the 1st of March for approximately 4 months. They will be renovating the airport runway, according to TAV Georgia, which operates the airport. From the 1st to the 26th of March, the airport will be closed from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., while from the 27th of March to the 1st of July, it will be shut down from 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. TAV said that flights scheduled for that time will be rescheduled. They said that the work on the project has been ongoing for almost 2 years. All the details have been pre-planned and that the rescheduling takes into consideration the interests of every aircraft carrier, meaning airline. As a note, Tbilisi International Airport has a capacity of 2.8 million passengers a year and handled 1.84 million passengers in 2015. Georgia's Airports Union also said that a new terminal will be built this year. The company that operates the airport, TAV Georgia, is a local subsidiary of Turkish TAV Airport Holdings and has run the Tbilisi on a build-operate-transfer basis since October 2005. The company also operates the airport in Batumi. In August 2012, the Georgian government signed a deal with TAV under which the operator planned to invest $65 million in the construction of a second runway at Tbilisi Airport. In exchange, TAV received an extension of its right to operate the airport by 10 years. It originally had the right to operate until 2027. Then it was extended to 2037. After the Georgian Dream, or Otsneba, coalition came into power, the government suspended the deal in January 2013 and renegotiated the terms with TAV. Based on that, the new deal was signed in May 2015, according to which the operator company has to reconstruct the existing runways and taxiways, but will not get an extension of its original contract. Company also has to gradually upgrade the airport infrastructure until 2027. On the 11th of February, there was a NATO-Georgia Commission meeting in Brussels. Defense Minister Tinico Chidashelli was there this week for that, and also for the NATO Defense Minister meeting on the 11th of February at the NATO-Georgia Commission meeting. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg opened by saying that they will examine what more NATO can do to intensify our support to Georgia, and also continued that work is ongoing on all the areas of the substantial package of cooperation with Georgia given at the NATO Wales Summit in 2014. He also revealed that the new Joint Training and Evaluation Center outside Tbilisi, which opened in August 2015, will start tactical training of Georgian officers in May. On a related note, related to NATO, the NATO envoy for the Caucasus and Central Asia, James Apaturai, told the public broadcaster Channel 1 that Georgia will not be given a map at the upcoming NATO summit in July in Warsaw. Defense Minister Chidashelli responded that there's been too much focus on maps since NATO can accept Georgia as a member directly, which is a little bit ridiculous since she herself is the one over the past, since she's been minister, that has fanned everybody's preoccupation with map. Anyway, Following up on other foreign visits this week, Foreign Minister Mikhail Janelidze is in Estonia meeting with officials there and opening the Georgia-Estonia Business Forum. Foreign Minister of Sweden Margot Wallström was in Tbilisi on the 8th of February as part of her trip to the three South Caucasus countries. A parliamentary delegation from Romania was in Georgia, and the two parliaments signed a memorandum of understanding. The Czech Republic Minister of Industry and Trade paid an official visit to Tbilisi. He met with the Ministry of Economy. They talked about restoring direct flights. The 2017 U.S. budget released by the White House includes $4.3 billion in funding allocated for the purpose of countering Russian aggression and supporting European allies, with a focus on Georgia, Ukraine, and Moldova. BI is removing very large, very old trees from a park in Sigiziri in Ajada and moving them to his private garden in Ureki in Guria. Activists have been protesting for weeks. The government of Ajada, in the end of December, issued a decree giving permission to a company to move the trees. They paid 6,000 lari for them. The protesters are saying that it's common to move trees, but these trees are too big and old and the roots might be damaged. They held a protest on the 10th of February trying to block the tractors from removing them. Five people were arrested, three from Guerrilla Gardening, which had protested the hotel in Vake. Two others from the National Movement had gotten into arguments with the police at the site. Tbilisi City Hall announced a new Tiflis project to renovate parts of the city. It should be underway through the whole of 2016. They're renovating Agmashenebeli Street and around the Dry Bridge area and Old Town, adding green spaces, pedestrian spaces, renovating buildings. It's a 21 million lari project. Tbilisi City Hall has a video showing what they're idealizing it will look like. We'll show you the link. It is a revolting plan and will make Tbilisi at best look like Minsk, at worst like Dushanbe. There have been rumors or speculations that internet provider Caucasus Online intends to sell the fiber optic cable that runs under the Black Sea, connecting Georgia with Europe, to Russian company Vimpelkom. Free Democrats leader Irakli Alassani was talking about it publicly earlier this week, that it would threaten Georgia's cybersecurity. The Prime Minister Kvitikash, then Prime Minister Kvitikashvili, responded to negate the Caucasus Online plans to sell the cable. He said that Caucasus Online is negotiating with international telecommunications company, but not about selling the cable. That Vimpel.com intends to purchase a retail segment of Caucasus Online. As a note, Vimpel.com is incorporated in Bermuda and headquartered in Amsterdam, but used to be based in Russia and is Russian. It's reportedly the world's sixth largest mobile network operator with 217 million customers worldwide, most of the company's revenues coming from Russia and Italy. Following up on last week's stories, as reported that civil rights lawyer Georgi Tatishvili filed a lawsuit in the Constitutional Court for the legislation of same-sex marriages in Georgia. However, a coalition of LGBT rights organizations in Georgia issued a joint statement distancing themselves from lawyer Tatishvili's initiative. They said that it will do harm to the LGBT community and that they suspect that the initiative is backed by pro-Russian forces who are trying to create a sense of society that they're in a sense in society that there's a threat coming from the LGBT community. World Bank and European Investment Bank are helping Georgia upgrade the main east-west highway, meaning for cars. The World Bank is allocating $140 million, while the European Investment Bank is offering close to 50 million euros for Georgia to Georgia for it. Through the finance ministry, they're going to create a 14-kilometer four-lane highway along the Zemo Usiaudi Chumateti section of the highway before the Rikoti Tunnel. The project will be implemented in phases from 2016 to 2020. A group of watchdog and human rights groups under the banner of the Coalition of Independence, Coalition for Independence and Transparent Judiciary have called on the High Council of Justice to suspend the ongoing process of selecting and appointing new judges. They criticize the existing rules for judicial appointments as unfair, non-transparent, and unconstitutional, and the decisions are governed by interests and agreements made in conspiracy among different power groups. They said they will file a complaint with the Constitutional Court. They've also launched a petition to suspend the process of appointing judges. Currently, judicial appointments are made through a secret ballot at the High Council of Justice. As a reminder, the issue of judicial appointments reemerged in public discourse last December after the High Council of Justice reappointed a judge in the Sandro Ghirvliani murder case. There have been more criticisms of the High Council of Justice in recent weeks after the chairman of Tbilisi City Court, Mamuka Akhlediani, alleged that answers to the judge's certification exam were leaked by the High Council to at least one of the candidates. In casino news, Melco Lot, which is run by Hong Kong businessman Lawrence Ho, is pulling out of plans to open a casino in Georgia. They said they failed to reach an agreement with Dahabi Group on lease terms. Melco Lot announced its Georgia casino venture in November 2014. The deal would have seen Melco Lot sell a part of wholly owned subsidiary Express Wealth, which was set up to hold the license in Georgia, to Fittich and Oz Gambling. Georgian Co-Investment Fund, together with broker Colliers International Georgia, are going to revitalize the empty for a very long time, Soviet-era Univermag building near Freedom Square, which I think has been Israeli-owned for a long time. They're going to turn it into a major shopping center. It will be called Galleria Tbilisi and will be connected to the Freedom Square Metro. It's planning to open in September 2017. The Georgian Co-Investment Fund is investing $77 million in the project. Justice Minister Tetsu Lukiani announced that her ministry proposed some legislative amendments to protect political parties from legal complications if ever there's an internal conflict. According to their amendments, it would be obligatory for a notary to be present at any important occasion facing a political party, like when a party is established or during a party assembly. And then they have 10 days to give the notary documents to the public registry if there are any changes. The proposed amendments have been approved by the government, but still need to go through parliament. Yeah, interesting. I'm not sure if there's a problem that's solving. Georgian restaurant Rusiko in Warsaw won the best restaurant of the year in a poll carried out by major Polish newspaper Gazeta Wyborza. It was opened in April 2015 by Dawid Turkistanishvili. His mother's name is Rusiko, and she's the chef. He's lived in Poland for 15 years and already has another restaurant. Italian company Iguzini carried out a pilot project installing LED lamps along Chavchavadze Avenue and Kafsadze Street in Vake. It's commissioned in Sabertalo. It's commissioned by Tbilisi City Hall, part of a City of Light initiative to switch to energy-efficient lighting. At the Georgia-Czech Business Forum in Tbilisi, Sok Aero Navigacja, the air navigation service provider in Georgia, signed an agreement with ALES, A-L-E-S, a member of Czech business group ICZ, to purchase and install a reserve air traffic control system. Currently, Georgia's air traffic control is provided by the Spanish company Indira. Georgia's building a new ski resort near Mestia in Svaneti called Tetnuldi. It will have the longest ski trail in the country at 9.5 kilometers with a vertical drop of 1.7 kilometers. The project has been financed by both Georgian and the French governments. World Rugby officials selected a try by Lasha Khmaladze in the Georgia-Germany game for the 2016 European National Cups as one of the top five best tries of the weekend. Georgian Rugby Association Regional Broadcasters is working with the Georgian Association of Regional Broadcasters is working with the NGO Village of the Future and advertisement agency Region Media Market to broadcast Georgian language and literature lessons on regional TV for free. They'll broadcast 24 lessons twice a week and specifically targeting people preparing to write university entrance exams in Georgian. Presumably, this is in the regions with ethnic national minorities, Azeri and Armenian speaking. The Egrisi Folk Dance Ensemble performed two shows in Doha, the capital of Qatar, at the inaugural Cultural Diversity Festival co-organized by UNESCO. The Lelos, the national rugby team, beat Germany in a game at Tbilisi. It was their first game in the 2016 European Championship. Congratulations to the Lelos. Judoka Avtandil Trikishvili won gold in his weight category at the Paris Grand Slam, which is run by the International Judo Federation. He also won the Paris Grand Slam in 2014. Parliamentary news, following up on draft legislation on insulting religious feelings. It was also condemned by Amnesty International. They released a statement on a report saying that it would undermine freedom of expression. There's no clear definition of what constitutes insulting religious feelings, and that in Georgia's context, it could be used to reinforce discrimination and harassment of vulnerable communities. The story has also been picked up by international media. On the 11th of February, the Parliamentary Committee for Legal Affairs started discussing a draft constitutional amendment maintaining the party list component of the electoral system, but replacing the majoritarian component with the regional proportional system. This is the draft that was introduced by the Georgian Dream parliamentary majority group, but for after the 2016 elections, it will need the support of opposition lawmakers to pass. The Interior Ministry has proposed a bill to allow police to put cameras in unmarked police cars and use the video recordings to fine drivers for traffic violations. NGOs and political parties have spoken out against it. The Republican Party said that it will not support it. The government has requested that the bill go through fast-track procedure during Parliament's fall session. Transparency International Georgia, for example, said that the unmarked patrol cars will be able to collect information about personal contacts of people, their movements, social practices, and so on. It is a violation of privacy and a violation of the Constitution. Currently, it is necessary to get permission from the court before installing secret cameras, wiretapping, and surveillance. The Interior Ministry has explained that it's not about surveillance, it's about safety. The number of cars on the street has increased 20% over the past 2 years. The risk of accidents are higher. They said that contactless patrolling is already in practice in Western countries. Yeah. Meme this week is a news clip that is on ITV of a priest blessing a store selling iPhones. It's pretty funny. He goes around flicking holy water and all the swag. Stuff to read. Mark Kersten for the Washington Post looks at the ICC investigation of the August 2008 war, noting it's the first time the ICC has investigated war crimes outside of Africa. Democracy and Freedom Watch goes to the Tbilisi suburb of Ponychala, which has ethnic Azeri parts, talks to people about murder of a young man there in December. He was stabbed and killed by a childhood friend. Some say it was a religious argument because he talked about Wahhabism and affecting the village. Others say it was a different personal conflict that explores religious divides in the community. Dazed Digital pays tribute to transgender actor Bianca, who was found dead at her Tbilisi flat last week from an apparent gas leak. Her friend, Georgian photographer in Berlin, talks about working with her and who she was. She was in part the subject of a Coda story recently. Reuters has a brief news report video on how Georgian business and consumers are dealing with the falling value of the lari. Analyst Lincoln Mitchell and my former colleague, who's worked closely with the Georgian Dream, discusses on his blog the 2016 elections and the importance of Bezina's role. Andrew Kramer in New York Times reports on Misha's fighting corruption in Ukraine. IWPR Oneg Krikorian explores the threat of Daesh or ISIS luring people from Georgia. Board Panda has a photo series of Georgia's mountainous regions where you can be close to the sky. CRC blog this week examines whether Russian propaganda about Georgian and European traditions has worked. The 10th century Kumurdo Cathedral in Javakheti will be renovated. It has some detailed stonework and lots of it is destroyed. Georgian Journal has some photos, what it looks like now and how it will be restored. And there's a video from Tbilisi City Hall about what the new Tiflis renovation project will look like, as mentioned earlier. Yuck. All this stuff to read will be posted on the forum at tbilpod.com. This week's dive bar number is 13%. That's how much more wine Georgia exported in January 2016 compared to January 2015. According to the National Wine Agency, the five countries that import the most in this year, in this past January, Russia, Ukraine, Poland, China, and Lithuania, in that order. Here in London, the British Georgian Society's annual general meeting will be held at the Georgian Embassy the 15th of February at 6:30 p.m. There'll be a talk from Ambassador Revaz Gachchiladze and a talk by Peter Dodge on the exploits of the Georgian rugby team in the 2015 Rugby World Cup. Also in London on the 16th of March, Dash Arts, a UK-based organization focusing on post-Soviet countries, is hosting an event, Ali and Nino in Baku. They will be screening the documentary film Baku, The City of Ali and Nino. Director Teresa Cherfas will be there for a discussion along with Oscar-winning Ali and Nino screenwriter Christopher Hampton and Caucasus analyst Tom Duvall. Email Molly, M-O-L-L-Y, at Dash Arts, that's dashart.org.uk, Dash Arts is all written together, to book your place for and location information. American trumpeter Chris Botti is teaming up with Sting for a concert at the Tbilisi Concert Hall on the 27th and 28th of February. You got to get tickets with solo.ge at one of their ticket offices. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tbilpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tbilpod.com. Hope everybody had a great Mardi Gras. We'll finish with, from 2015, this is Texan Stephanie Montiel and Quien Quiere Shots.
Hey, I heard Stephanie Montiel was having a party tonight.
Where at?
You know, I don't know, man. I wish I knew where it was at so we could get out there.
Do y'all want to come to the Stephanie Montiel party?
Yeah!